Just how busy are your preparations for Christmas? If I'm honest, I actually find this time of year very frantic, and I'm sure particularly ladies do at this time of year. Both of my children were born very near Christmas, which was very silly, but it's the way it happened. And what with birthdays, Christmas cards, presents, decorating and preparing the food, I often find I have to really search for time to reflect on the real Christmas story. But I'm sure that now we can just take a few minutes. Here we will get a greater sense, perhaps, of what Christmas is all about. So sit back and just let God talk to you, is what I would say. We're halfway through, that's a little more halfway through Advent, and this week we're looking at John the Baptist. And in fact, most churches in Britain are looking at John the Baptist today and his relationship to this amazing story. We see him, which we haven't read, in the first chapters of Matthew, Mark and Luke. His was also a miraculous birth. Zacharias and Elizabeth weren't expecting to have a child, but God had different ideas. He too has a special ministry to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. He was the one who first recognized his son as the promised Messiah. What does that have to tell us about our understanding of Christmas? After Jesus' baptism at the hands of John, we know that this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. John continues in his role, calling people to repent and be baptized. He continued to herald the coming Saviour. He continued to savagely tell the Jewish people and their leaders that they have gone wrong. He didn't mince words, I think is what I would say, and he would point out the errors of their ways. But unfortunately for John, he was not averse to being wholly honest where the leaders were concerned. He drew attention to the fact that King Herod Antipas had taken up with his half-niece, Herodias. Problem enough, according to Jewish law, because you shouldn't take up with your half-niece. But it seems she was already married to Herod's own brother, making it even worse. The result of this was that John was thrown into prison for telling the truth, really. After years in the wilderness, warning the people that they needed to repent because the Messiah was coming, suddenly he too has time to reflect. Time to think about his cousin, whom he'd recognised as the Saviour. I might also say that he had time to think about the fact that he might soon be executed. Even though we may be Christians, it is good for us to take time to think about who Jesus really is. And that is what John did. In his thinking, he comes back to a question. Did I get it right? Is Jesus truly the Messiah? Or have I been wrong all this time? Even the greatest people have doubts. And John seems to have hit a period of doubt. And I think that rests somewhat in perhaps his perceptions of who he thought the Messiah should be. I read a story recently about a man who sent his wife a birthday card, quite normal. On the front, he was a Christian man. It said, "You are the woman I pray for." Lovely. Inside it said, "But probably not what I really expected." And I think there is a lot of truth in the two sides of this. We pray, but sometimes what we get, although it's the right thing, is not always what we expected. And I think this is what John was finding. Remember, John was brought up in a time when the Jewish people were hoping, if you like, for a Messiah who would come and rescue them from the Romans. That they would, he would lead them in battle and relieve them from all their troubles. That's what they thought was coming. That's what they prayed for, in actual fact. And for John, what had he seen? He hadn't seen any of that. Jesus, yes, was ministering around the place. But when was he going to get the army together? When was he going to fight the Romans? That wasn't happening. And because John was a man of his time, perhaps he looked around him and thought, I don't think this is the real person, just fleetingly. So he sends for his disciples. He doesn't hesitate. He gets a message out. Go and ask Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we wait for another? There had been a lot of men over the years who had actually claimed to be the Messiah. So it wasn't perhaps that surprising that there was the odd doubt around when a new one crept up. But what John did was he went straight to the source. He went straight to Jesus and said, who are you? When you're filled with doubt and worry, who do you go to first? If you're like me, you probably have a discussion, if you've got another half, with your other half. Then you talk to your friends and so on. But you never actually talk to the one who matters. If you're doubting God, go to God. If you're doubting Jesus, go to Jesus. So John went straight to the source and said, are you really the Messiah? For us, this is a very important question, even now. All the hullabaloo of Christmas is a complete waste of time if Jesus isn't who he says he is. And it is easy for us to doubt. It is a long time since Jesus came the first time. And we live in a world that seems dark and quite godless. We've just had an election. Well, maybe that's a positive rather than a negative. But nonetheless, how often was God mentioned in during the election? Not many times. In our part of the world, the number of those who believe seems to have gone down astronomically. Constant reports of poor church attendance hit the headlines. So is Jesus who he says he is? Or has it all gone wrong? Jesus actually doesn't give John a direct answer. He doesn't say, yes, of course I'm the Messiah. And he wouldn't give us one either, I suspect. He points John back to the words in Isaiah 35. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. He points to Isaiah 61. Isaiah is the book of the Messiah. It's worth reading during Advent. With that amazing picture of God's servant, he trusts that the word of God, which he had been seen fulfilled, will speak for itself and strengthen John in his time of need. He's asking John to let go of the ideas he has of who the Messiah is to be and to look to what God says through the prophets. If you look for a saviour of your own making, you'll never find him. he will not fit your definition. And I think that's important to take note of. I'm constantly amazed at how the Bible, even today, we read about what our world will be like in the Bible. In the New Testament, we're told that there will be wars and rumours of wars. And of course there are. The Bible tells us what is happening now. It can be a problem for us, though, if Jesus doesn't fit our own definition. Looking on through the passage, Jesus emphasises to the people just what a great prophet John the Baptist is. But he also says, no matter how great he is, the least person in the kingdom of heaven can be greater than he. Why? And we see this emphasised in the Ephesians passage. Because God has fully revealed his Son to us in Jesus. We do not need to be filled with doubts and fears that were besieging John's mind. Perhaps you're thinking, but I doubt. So what do I do? And Jesus does the same with us. He doesn't give the direct answer. If we look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul emphasises that God had revealed to him that the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. You see, what often makes us doubt is not our doubting that God is who he says he is, or that Jesus is the Son of God, but who we think we are. Maybe John began to doubt his calling as a prophet. That is what made him ask the question. What Paul discovered was that God's family encompassed not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. That makes each one of us one of God's sons or daughters. This was fully revealed to Paul. And usually when we ask God to tell us who he really is, he tells us who we really are to him. Just as Jesus talks about who John the Baptist is in this passage, it puts our position right with him. John was reassured. We know he went to his death knowing Jesus is the Messiah. We should be reassured. Jesus tells us in Luke's Gospel, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So whatever is going on around us, we have nothing to fear. We are children of the King of Kings. And at Christmas time, we remember that our Messiah came into the world for our sake, and we know who he is. Like you, I will have to go back to the frantic rush of Christmas preparations, of visiting friends and relatives, but I want to carry in my heart, and I hope you do too, the amazing knowledge that Jesus is the one. And despite what we see around us, despite all of that, we may feel that he is real and with us now. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are here with us now through Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would be so real to us that as we share with our friends and family, we will be able to share of you and of the amazing things you do. In Jesus' name, amen.